Come on, come on.
I see no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about it, bro. Pull a trigger, kill a hero. Get it back to the kids, who the hell cares? One less hungry mouth.
Welcome to another episode of the American West Ham Podcast. I'm your co-host, Tony, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. On the other side, we got Brawley in St. Louis. What's up, brother?
I'm doing very well, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You know, a little disappointed with the result, but we'll get into that later. I tweeted about some interesting podcast news earlier in the week, and I am sad to say that this is the last ever American West Ham podcast. However, this is not actually sad news. Brawl, are you going to fill everybody in what's going on?
Yep. So we have partnered up with Dave Walker, an ex-WHU employee, and we will be merging as the West Ham Way USA podcast. So we will start under a new name. We will start with a new logo, but nothing else basically is going to change. We're going to be the same podcast. Everything's going to stay the same. Just our name's going to change and our logo is going to change. But it's really, really exciting news for us because we get to be a part of the biggest West Ham brand out there as far as the podcasts and things like that go. So I'm really, really excited to get this going and just really, really looking forward to getting this started. What about you? What do you think about it?
Absolutely. And for anyone who is concerned, our Twitter account is going to stay the same. So if you already follow us, fantastic. If you don't follow us, we will be announcing the Twitter change later this week, excuse me. However, the account stays the same, and same with the RSS feed, so you can go back and listen to any of our old amazing interviews still, like Rebecca Lowe a few episodes back, Bobby Madley in the summer, Arlo White last year, Jonathan Clegg, and all the other people that have done a fantastic job and supported us through this process. This is massive. We went from, 2.5 years ago, using iPhone speakers and laying on the couch to here we are merging with one of the biggest brands.
Yeah, it's just absolutely mind-boggling how this has all taken off for us. You know, Dave and X both reached out to us and said they wanted to bring us in and have us do what we do on their side of things. So, I mean, that's humbling to me. I mean, Dave and X are the two guys that I've listened to over the past 5 years or however long they've been doing it. And if you had to pick one show to listen to, it was theirs. I mean, they get well over 50,000 listens a week for the most part. So for us to go on board with them is really humbling to us. And I just wanted to say thank you to Dave and X for bringing us on board. And we also need to thank guys like Scott Davis who vouched for us to them. And I know there's a few other guys that'll be joining them on the YouTube side of things, but as far as the podcast go, we will be essentially the Dave and X of the United States, which will be pretty cool for us to carry that title, I think.
And for anyone who thinks that we are acting like a little bit of hot shots right now, what makes this special is also we will be able to break some exclusive news as well. So we will have a little bit more insight, a little more in-depth analysis. We'll be the same guys talking, the same conversations, the same shit opinions. However, we will have some extra information, hopefully, along with our fantastic personalities. And then the other great thing about it is we got to make sure that we could stay friends with all of our American and English podcasts that support us as well, just like Green Street Hammers and More Than Just a Pod and Hammers Chat, and obviously the West Ham Way brand is who we're merging with, and they've been big supporters and obviously have facilitated this entire move. So I'm really excited, man.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And things you can expect from us now is Dave will come on every once in a while to join the show. X, during the transfer window, will join us frequently to keep us, all the American listeners, up to date on the transfer windows, incomings, outgoings, drama, that sort of stuff. Everything that's going on behind the scenes at West Ham that X knows, he's going to be sharing with us, and we get to share it with you guys. So it's just really, really, really big for us, and sad to see the American West Ham podcast name go, sad to see the logo go. Those were all of our, I mean, we made
song.
That. was our thing. The song will go. Yep. We might have to come up with a new song. We'll hit up A-Rob and see if he can make us a different catchy song. But I just can't wait to get going and get things underway. And you can hear Dave and X on their show on Wednesday. They will announce the same thing. And it's just exciting. So definitely keep tuning into the West Ham Way on Phoenix FM podcast, and then keep it right here and join us on the West Ham Way USA podcast from here on out.
Absolutely. I got nothing else to say other than I'm really glad that we had this opportunity, because we started from nothing and now can hopefully get some extra recognition. So that's awesome. Let's talk about a match we had today, which we are recording this on Monday evening, 9:51 Eastern USA. We drew 0-0 to Villa. What were your first initial thoughts on the result? Would you have taken a draw to begin with?
Well, let's jump back a little bit. Where did you watch the game at?
I watched on my phone. I can't say where I watched on my phone, but I watched on my phone.
Sure. Okay. I got to go to the pub in St. Louis. So I went to the Amsterdam Tavern, got to watch with my dad and Dave Sperry. So it was just the three of us there. No other West Ham fans, no other Villa fans. Tough on a work day to get out of the office, I know. But that's what I did. And then, so initial thoughts on the result. I think before we get into the result thoughts, I think we should touch on the game itself and kind of what we thought. The obviously the biggest talking point in this game is going to be VAR and the referee. How much did you get to watch of it first off?
I got to watch all of it. Yeah, definitely.
So you saw everything that happened.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But my question was more so coming at you from a point of what did you want going into this game? Not really were you happy with the result, but what did you want going into this game before we talk about the game? Like last week, I believe you said
I think 2-3-1, 3-1, I think I said.
And I think I said 1-0 or 2-0, something like that. So we both predicted a win going into this game.
Yeah, obviously when you go away from home to a newly promoted side, you want to win. That's one of the areas we struggled with last season, especially like Cardiff away. I can't remember who else was up and down last season, but
Wolves,
the promoted
Fulham.
Wolves, you can kind of discredit, and Fulham we won away. But it seemed like those teams away from home that we should be beating, we weren't beating, and we were typically losing. So if you wanted to carry on that, you know, top six finish mentality, like these are the games that you should be winning.
Absolutely.
But so it just was like, you expect to win. We should be winning games like this. So if you look at it in a vacuum, a 0-0 result is disappointing, but I was definitely expecting a win going into it.
Right. So we remained unchanged from Norwich. Well, speaking of Norwich, as you just said that you expect to go in and beat and play tough against newly promoted sides, Man City lost to Norwich at what is it, Carriage Road or something like that?
Carrow Road.
Yeah, so that was
pretty crazy.
Little indicator of what we might see tonight. We did remain unchanged from that Norwich win, though. So,
yeah, the lineup, nothing crazy. Ogbonna stayed in like we thought he would. Yarmolenko stayed in. Like maybe if you were going to make a change, maybe Yarmolenko comes out for Fornals. But the lineup didn't surprise me in any way, shape, or form.
No.
Typically, don't change a winning side, so I was okay with the lineup.
Yeah, absolutely, and I believe it was unchanged from the week before, so that same lineup has won 2 weeks in a row prior to this match.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Another thing is, again, Mark Noble back in the side, and as I say back in the side, I meant from the first few games. It seems that he is probably one of the most important players.
Probably the first name on the team sheet, honestly, in my opinion. He's your captain, so by just being your captain, you should be the first name on the team sheet. But it's just he brings something that no one else can offer, and his passion, his drive, his will, his effort, all of it just encompasses what we are as a club, and he is the reason that we're not losing games at the moment, in my opinion. I think he's really come in and changed everything around. So Mark Noble, absolutely vital to the side at the moment.
Absolutely. So going into the match, where should we even start? Do we want to start with the first booking?
Yeah, you can. You
absolutely
start there.
Yeah, because so the first booking was Arthur Masuaku in the 23rd minute. By the way, the result was obviously 0-0, so we don't have any goals to speak about, and I don't really even remember any massive chances for us that was like, wow. So the main talking points of this podcast is going to be bookings and VAR. So, first yellow card by Arthur Masuaku. Would you have said yellow?
Yeah, I think it was a yellow. I don't think it was a soft yellow. I think it was a deserved yellow, and had it been gone against us that way, I would have hoped that it would have been given a yellow to Villa as well. So I was okay with the first yellow for Masuaku.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought Mike Dean was card happy with that, because here's the thing. It was the 23rd minute. It wasn't that far into the match, and I really didn't think it was that tough. I would even argue that it wouldn't have been a yellow if it, like, I wouldn't have been mad if it was given against us. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think he was card happy, because then Grealish and Mark Noble, 5 minutes later, both get booked for tackles. I'm like, eh. It feels like every tackle in the modern game is a yellow card now.
Yeah.
Every single tackle. So now Arthur Masuaku has to play, let's see, from the 23rd minute, so minus 90, which is 67. He has to play 67 minutes now on a yellow card for something I thought was could have just been a talking to.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was okay with the yellow, though. I thought it was cynical enough and stopping the play enough to where I'm okay with that being a yellow. But that being said, three yellows inside 29 minutes, I mean, that does make you wonder what, like, the referee could let some of this go. But I would also argue that they weren't all horrendous decisions either. So, I mean, I was okay with it, but at the same time, you're right. You could just, if you get a more lenient referee, he'll probably let more of that go. So I don't, I'm on the fence on the first three yellows.
The thing is, you can call a foul without giving a yellow card.
Yeah, you can.
I know you know that, but I just think when you start booking people 20 minutes in, you're setting yourself up for drama, which, if Mike Dean game, there's going to be drama.
And Noble was an accumulation of fouls. Noble had four fouls inside the first 25 minutes. So, I mean, you could see him. I even said to whoever I was standing next to, I said, Noble, the next foul he's going to get is going to be a yellow. And it was, sure enough. You could see Mike Dean point 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, and then show the yellow. So you can't argue with that. Noble, he could have left, because even one of his earlier challenges could have been bookable. So, you know, I wasn't upset with Noble getting booked either.
No, so anything else in the first half? We go into the half tied 0-0.
Fabianski made some good saves. Well, that's really...
Yeah, his performance overall was absolutely fantastic. He saved the bacon there. But in reality, I think there really wasn't much else to talk about in the first half. Pablo Fornals came in the 62nd minute for Yarmolenko. I thought that was a good decision. Yarmolenko has been, I think, subpar this season. But he scored right when we said last week or 2 weeks ago, oh, man, he was who I would have brought off. And then he buried it into the back of the net. So I don't know if he just needs some more time or if he's just not getting it done. What are your thoughts on Yarmolenko?
Well, you could tell the game plan from minute one to minute 63 or whenever it was that Yarmolenko came off. The plan was get the ball to Felipe Anderson, let Anderson run down the left, and Yarmolenko's kind of there for support on the right-hand side. But we didn't use him on the right-hand side whatsoever. Every single pass was around the midfield and to Felipe Anderson, and let Felipe Anderson run at you. That was the entire game. That's all we did, attacking-wise, was get it to Anderson and let Anderson do the work. So I think it's harsh on Yarmolenko to say that he didn't play very well, because I don't think he was really got any chance to do anything at all. He had the one chance that was blocked when he cut in on his left, but he didn't really get the ball at all. So you'd like to think that maybe he cut infield and try to welcome the ball more, but I think it's harsh on him to say that he didn't play very well, because I just don't think he was even given an opportunity to play.
Let's see. It gave him a 5.9. rating here, pass accuracy 78%, and one shot off target. So that was, according to, what'd you call it, FOTMob?
FOTMOB, yep.
Yep, that's the newest app that you got me into. So everybody go download FOTMOB. It's fantastic. It has EPL all the way down to non-league and has the USL, all that in America too. So keep an eye on that. The next, I guess, important play would be Masuaku in the 67th. His second yellow, and he is sent off. Again, I thought the first one was questionable, but I'll give it to you that that's a yellow. Second one, would you have said yellow to send him off?
No way. And no way, shape, or form is that a yellow card. He honestly, if he touches him, it's a slight, just breezed against him.
It was a gentle caress.
Yeah, I mean, he barely, if he touched him at all, it was barely. And I would argue that's a dive. But even if you think that that's a foul, that should just be a foul and should play on. You shouldn't send the guy off. I said at halftime to my dad, who was standing right next to me, I said, I would be absolutely shocked if this game finishes 11-11. Just because that's the way the first half went. It was yellow, yellow, yellow. And it was starting to get a little chippy. So I told my dad, I was like, I just would be absolutely shocked if this game finishes 11-11. And then that happens and he gets sent off. And it was interesting because I think you just have to be sure, because from the referee's point of view, it might have looked like a foul. And even Noble in his post-game press conference with their interview, whatever you want to call it, he said the reporter asked him, what did you think about the second yellow? And he responded with, to me, it looked like a foul. I haven't seen a replay, but I didn't question it when he got sent off. So I know he argued a little bit because I think he's just standing up for his player, but he even said that he thought from his angle it looked like a foul. But even so, I don't think you have to give a yellow there. You could just get away with giving that foul and say, hey, if you do another one, you're off. I think it should have been a yellow for simulation going the other way. So I'm just appalled at that decision. It was really, really poor refereeing.
Well, the thing is with Mike Dean, sending him off, you have to be certain. You have to be certain. Did Masuaku dive in? Absolutely. Was it a bonehead thing to do? Sure. And I just want to give him a shout because I still thought he played fairly solid. I don't think he played poorly or amazing. I thought he played solid. And he had two to three games in a row that he's played very well. So I put out a tweet earlier right after the game that I'm glad not many people are jumping on his back, because if you look at the replay, like I said, it was like a gentle caress, and I guess you could call a foul for the dive in and the disruption, but in reality, there's no way that that's bookable. And to even send somebody off, and I'm one of those people who are a firm believer that there's a difference between a yellow card and a second yellow to send somebody off. There's plenty of people like, well, if it's a first yellow card, it could be a second yellow card. It's either it's a yellow or it's not. I don't believe that. I think a second yellow to send somebody off has to be more harsh than a first yellow.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think in a perfect world, obviously, all yellow cards are going to be the same standard across every minute of play, but it's not like that. The game is very subjective, and I think you're right. I think there is a difference between a first yellow and a second yellow. The one thing I really wanted to talk about, though, is I think we should be more annoyed at VAR more so than Mike Dean.
Well, what's the point of VAR then?
Well, the VAR can't touch a second yellow. It's for whatever reason. It can overturn red cards, straight reds. It cannot overturn a second yellow, even if it's a dive going the other way. If the referee's made that decision that it's a yellow, then he has to stick with that decision. So it's so tough, man. I love VAR. I was a big advocate for it, but it has been frustrating this season. And people, you know, I sent out a tweet saying, you know, people thought that we were going to lose the pub talk, you know, all of the controversy and all the drama. Well, this is a case in point where you're not. You're still going to have those subjective decisions like the one Mike Dean gave against Masuaku, and you're going to have talks like this. So yeah, this is case in point that it's not cut and dry. You're still going to have that drama. You're still going to have that controversy, and shit like this can still happen. As much as it's annoying on our end, it is what it is at this point, I guess. They can't change it this season.
Well,
so
on top of that, though, let's even talk about, let's say they did look at the VAR there, okay? Let's say they did look at it. Would he still award the yellow card because there was that slight minimal contact that could have brought him down as he was running down the side of the field? So was that even enough to overturn it? Almost like in the NFL, you know, there's
clear and obvious.
There's overturned, there's stands, and confirmed. So to me, that would almost be like a stands, as in they would not overturn it and book him for simulation, and they would not confirm it and say it's the correct call. They're going to stay with the call on the field, or in cricket terms, almost like umpire's call.
Yeah, that's a valid point. I think you would have to ask like Neil Swarbrook down at the VAR headquarters that. It's still a subjective game, so I don't know. I would just like to at least give VAR the chance to overturn that decision, because when you see that replay, when you see that replay in slow-mo, it looks terrible. The decision looks terrible. I mean, it looks like I think it was El Mohammadi just – goes over virtually nothing. I understand the argument that if you're running at speed, the slightest of contact can bring you down, but that was not that case there. It was purely, if anything, a foul. In my opinion, it was a dive. But I don't know. I don't know if that decision would be overturned, but at least give him a chance to look at it and use some common sense. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Villa fans would argue that Mark Noble was lucky to stay on the pitch because he had a dive earlier in the game in the penalty area. He didn't appeal for it. He didn't do anything. To me, it looked like a dive. To me, it looked like a dive. It really did. It looked like he didn't appeal to the referee, which he had going in his favor. But if Villa fans, they looked 2 weeks ago against Crystal Palace, or 3 weeks ago, whenever that was, and they see Jack Grealish get booked for a dive that took away a goal from them, which was far, far less of a dive than what Mark Noble did, I think they're going to be feeling like that's hard done by, and we really should have been down to 10 men either way. And I would have a tough time arguing with that, because I thought it was a dive when it happened. I thought Mark Noble dove to try to win that penalty. But it is what it is. It's just a sticky, sticky situation with this whole VAR stuff.
Absolutely. On a more positive note, what do you think of Pablo Zabaleta? Go ahead.
Did you think Mark Noble dove? You didn't chime in on that.
No, I don't think he dove. From my point of view, Bremer, I'm watching on an iPhone 10, so it was very tiny. To me, it looked like the defender won the ball, and Mark Noble tripped over the ball. Like he was going and running, and it looked like, you know, when both people make contact with the ball, it looked like that to me. So I wouldn't have called a dive or a penalty. Like from my point of view, that's what it looked like. And again, I don't think everything's a dive. I don't think you can either call one or the other where you have to say someone goes down, it's a penalty or a dive. Like,
no,
to me, I wouldn't have called it a dive. But I'm also a West Ham fan and a bit of a homer, as everybody can tell how much like biased I have. Yeah. But I wouldn't have called a dive. No.
I was listening to Talk Sport on the way home from the pub. And both presenters agreed with me that they thought it was a blatant dive, even though, like I said, he didn't appeal for it. But I think he was cognizant of the fact that he was on a yellow and he'd already been talked to previously by Mike Dean earlier in the half about getting sent off. And both of those presenters said that I believe it was Jason Cundy and Adrian Durham, I believe. They both thought it was a dive, and some of the callers, there were a couple callers that also thought it was a dive. So I'm not alone in that thinking. I'm not trying to like present this whole Mark Noble should have been sent off idea. I'm just saying I think we were a bit fortunate that he didn't get sent off and potentially later in the half go down to 9 men instead of 10. I'm just throwing that out there that I think we may have gotten a little lucky, and I think that we should take that into account as well. I don't know. Just trying to bring some different perspective.
No. I welcome it. I just don't agree. And I think this is the first time in the history of our podcast on the last American West Ham pod, but on the pre-West Ham Way USA pod, that we have actually disagreed. So,
fair enough.
Yep. So going into the rest of the match, I did want to bring out a shout out to Pablo Zabaleta, who I thought did extremely well after coming in for Felipe Anderson, who did take a knee to the back just a bit earlier. And obviously we went down a defender with Masuaku getting sent off. And quite frankly, I feel like the game really opened up because Aston Villa started pressing more, obviously because they were up a man, but really opened space for our attack. And I thought we had some very good counters.
Yeah, I mean, and you didn't even mention the fact that Zabaleta came in at left back. He didn't even go in at his normal right back. He did very well for coming on and playing at left back. And, yeah, it did open the game up. We actually looked better. We looked much better with 10 men than we did with 11. And I think the game we want to play is counterattack away from home. I'm okay with that. And we didn't just sit back, though. That was the thing that encouraged me the most. We didn't just sit back and welcome them onto us. We pushed and pushed and pushed every time we could break. Even when we could have headed for the corner in like the 88th minute, we didn't. We tried to get in the area. Fornals and Allaire played some lovely stuff. I just wish Fornals would have hit that last chance.
Oh, my God.
And shot
at the
it
end.
Instead of slide it through. And that's, you know, that's probably him being young and like trying not to be the selfish young player. Like, I appreciate that. But in that situation, he'll learn that. He'll learn that. He'll look at the video and say, hey, you probably should shoot there, at least test the keeper instead of trying to play a little cute 1-2. But, you know, I can't criticize any one of our players tonight. I was happy with everyone's performance, honestly. And I think at the end of the day, 0-0 is disappointing, but it's probably a fair result. And it's probably a point that I would take considering we were down to 10 men for over 20 minutes of that game.
Yeah, that last stoppage time was absolutely insanium in the cranium. I mean, it was I'm speechless between going back and forth and then Balbuena coming in for the corner to try and defend that, and then Fornals and Allaire playing with each other in the last 10 seconds. I mean, that was incredible. I was on the so I did end up making it home for the last maybe 20 minutes, so I was watching on my phone and then I made it home and I did see it on NBC Sportsnet and I was just on the tip of my chair in my house. And I couldn't even sit down. I ended up cleaning my apartment after because I was too amped up. But who would have thought being amped up after a 0-0 draw?
Yep, it's just one of those games. It's a funny old game, football. And it was a pretty exciting 0-0. I mean, the first half was crap. The beginning of the second half was probably pretty crap, too. But after, as you said, after the red card, the game really did open up and it became a really exciting watch for the neutral fan. It was just stressful for us, but
one of the things I hate about watching on my phone, especially while I'm doing other things, is it feels like when the game is boring that the game moves by so, I want to say quick, because I look down at the phone and next thing you know 10 minutes went by. I look down at the phone against another 20 minutes have went by because there's nothing really going on. And that's almost what I miss about, again, I know I always bring it up, but that's what I miss about going every week when I lived in England, because every little thing when you're in the stadium is exciting for me. And you're with your friends and you feel the crowd atmosphere and it's absolutely an incredible time. But when you're sitting at home or in the pub, you're talking to the person next to you and it's on the TV without any sound, or you're at the office and it's on your phone, or you're laying around on the couch on a Saturday morning. You miss out. And sometimes I find myself sitting on my phone, on Twitter or the game goes by without even watching it sometimes. So I guess that's the one thing I wanted to point out about a 0-0 draw, that our buddy Scott was there and I'm sure he had an absolute blast. Sometimes it gets boring on the TV, and I think that's one thing that a lot of our listeners do miss out on, and that's why I always highly recommend trying to get over there whenever you can. I know means aren't the best for everybody, but I really highly recommend doing whatever you can just to try it one time.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's nothing like going to the game in person. It's definitely better than watching it on TV. It is different than watching it on TV. It is very different. You don't get your replays.
Yep.
You don't get your commentary.
Your VAR.
And you don't get your other like in-game things that you miss. So
like seeing the Masuaku replay six times. You don't get to see that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even losing 4-1 at Spurs for you, it was probably better than sitting on the couch. But.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it was still, I got to experience what White Hart Lane was like before it got obviously torn down. You know, I got to feel what a West Ham Spurs derby is like. So that in itself is very exciting. And yeah, the results sucked, but you still, a day out with your friends, even if you lose, is still a good day out.
So back to our match. One last thing on Villa. Who would you have put as your man of the match? I will note for the listeners that FotMob has Declan Rice at a 7.6 as player of the match. So that was because of his 96% passing rating with 51 accurate passes. And let's see, tackles.
I thought Declan was absolutely superb. That's probably a fair shout.
Yeah, four successful out of six tackles, one major clearance, and let's see, two aerial duels won.
Yeah, a really good performance from Declan. My pick, honorable mention, goes to Angelo Ogbonna, who I thought played a fantastic game. I don't know that anyone else was talking about him. And also, randomly, Ogbonna, when we were down to 10 men, did you see him, how high up the pitch he was staying when the ball was up in that area?
Yeah, it looked like a second center forward. I was like, what are you doing?
He received the ball like a striker and then put it out wide because my dad was saying, shoot. I'm like, that's Ogbonna, you realize? He's like, oh, no, I didn't realize. So that was funny. But he had some absolutely pivotal tackles. His clearances were spectacular. I thought he headed out that ball at the very end of the game into our own net for an OG. My heart sank for a minute, but he cleared it out. So, Augie, honorable mention, but my man of the match has to be Fabianski, who stood on his head once again. And without him, we probably lose that game by two. So, although I do think a draw was a fair result, I think we could have easily lost that game if it were not for Fabianski.
Ooh, that's a weird opinion, because I was going to say, one, I agree with you. The back line was immense. I thought Ogbonna was incredible. I think Diop had a bunch of big tackles. And Fabianski made some fantastic saves, like you just said. However, I'm going to go the opposite way. Although, yeah, sure, I think we could have lost. I really do firmly believe, even though we looked better with 10, I do firmly believe that if we would have had 11 guys, we would have won that game. I'm not blaming it on Mike Dean, because again, I wouldn't have given him a second yellow for that, but whatever, that was the final decision. I firmly believe that if we would have had 11 guys, we would have broke through and won that game.
And that could be fair.
The way that we played with 10 guys, I think was more so our athleticism and our skill that came out toward the end of the game because of the tiredness from Villa. And just because they don't have the same quality that we do. So add that on with another player when we weren't chasing and maybe had a little bit more on the ball. I think that right there was 3 points and we were sitting third.
Yeah, I mean, you could also make the argument that the 10 men encouraged Villa to push on, and that's what opened the game up too. So we only had one shot on goal the whole game, though. So, and that came in the first 10 minutes. And that was a weak shot from, I want to say Mark Noble. It was a weak shot from Mark Noble. But we didn't have a single attempt on target. I think we had 13 total shots, and one of them was on target. So, I don't know. I think the draw was a fair result. And I think even if it was stayed 11-11, that the game probably still would have finished in a draw. But at least we would have had a fighting chance. And I don't know. You never know. That's why I say football's a funny old game.
And then now we lose Masuaku for next week.
Yeah, and that's the most disappointing thing is, who do you bring in for him? Do you bring in Aaron Cresswell, I don't even think Cresswell was on the bench today, was he?
I don't know. I can pull it up here real quick. But yeah, in the meantime, it's either going to be Cresswell or Johnson, unless you start Zabaleta at left back.
I mean, he put in a decent enough shift that maybe that's a possibility. It's not ideal, but if Cresswell's healthy...
No Cresswell on the bench today.
I didn't think so. So you wonder if that was just team selection or if that was fitness. I'm probably going Cresswell over Ben Johnson. I'm still not ready to give Ben Johnson the keys to the car.
Especially against United.
Experience counts, in my opinion. So Cresswell probably gets a start. And I'd be okay with Zappa. If Pellegrini thinks that that's the best thing to do, then I trust him in that. So,
yeah, I'm agree with you there. Anything else you want to talk about Villa before we take a quick break?
Yeah, the only thing I do want to mention real quickly while I'm thinking about it is I apologize if my audio isn't very good tonight. I had some technical difficulties with my computer, and I am recording on my phone, so I do apologize to anyone if I sound like crap. It's not going to be a regular thing. I do have a good microphone. I just couldn't use my computer tonight. That's the only thing I wanted to say. But Villa, I'm done with. I'll move on, take a point on the road, and I'm happy with that.
Speaking of microphones, your boy's got one coming in the mail, so we should hopefully have it for our next and brand new show.
Hey guys, this is Jonathan Spector, and you're listening to the American West Ham Podcast with Brawley and Tony.
Hey guys, this is Rebecca Lowe, and you're listening to the American West Ham Podcast with Brawley and Tony.
And that was our good friend Rebecca Lowe, the lovely Rebecca Lowe that you guys just heard from. And just a friendly reminder, when we do cross over to the West Ham Way USA podcast, you can still go back and listen to our old episodes. So please do go check out our Rebecca Lowe interviews, like Tony was saying earlier, and Bobby Madley, Arlo White, Lewis Hilton, Jonathan Clegg, Tom Rennie, James Longman. And I'm sure I'm missing a bunch of other ones, but we still want you guys to know that you can still access those, so don't feel like those are lost forever. And if you're new to the pod, definitely go back and check out some of those episodes because they were really good stuff. Now, we want to go into a little bit of a Twitter discussion that we were having through our podcast account. So, Tony, why don't you go ahead and read us out what you were talking about on Twitter.
Yeah, I just want to give a few quick highlights here. There was nothing, we didn't really have time to do a Q&A. That's what happens on Monday night games because we record fairly quickly. And also, Monday night game Q&As aren't as good because everyone's more like, that was a great game or that game sucked. It was never the good questions that we get when we have Saturday games and we put out the question on Sunday after people have time to digest their feelings a bit. So I guess the few highlights were from Elberk12, Fabianski, man of the match. He agreed with you there. Matthew Howard, who's always commenting. I appreciate that, Matthew. I am so pleased for the guys to get a point away from home, especially being wrongly down to 10 men. Defending-wise, we were really good this evening. Going forward, was a bit slow, and the final ball wasn't up to our usual standards. At least we weren't beaten and haven't lost since City. So I agree with that, yeah. We've only lost that one game to City. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, we're on a really good run right now, so we'll take it. We're eighth in the table right now, joint third on goal difference, so I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. James L., which is Iowa Iron, says Mike Dean's crazy eyes on the sending off. Yeah, absolutely. Still don't agree with that. Let's see here. Oregon Rancher, no matter who's playing, Mike Dean has to make it about him. How about the song? I'm sure you heard that going around.
Oh, yeah. What is it?
It's all about you.
It's all about you. It's all about you, Mike Dean. It's all about you. Which, I don't know. Since we recorded the Bobby Madley interview, it's really changed my perspective on referees as a whole. And I chatted with Bobby off air about Mike Dean, and he actually says he's a really lovely guy. He doesn't believe that he tries to seek the attention that he does. I'm somewhere in the middle of that. I'm somewhere in between the fans and Bobby Madley. Like, I do think there are certain things that Mike Dean could do that if he really wasn't trying to make the game all about him, that he could do and just, like, you know, bring out less cards, bring out less controversy in your games. But at the same time, I actually think he's an okay referee, and that's probably controversial. I'm probably going to get slated for that. But I think there are times where he makes some really good decisions, and he's probably better than what's kicking about in the championship or League One. So I'm not one of those people that's saying, oh, he should be sacked forever. He shouldn't ever do a Premier League ever again, and blah, 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 blah. I think, yeah, he's made some bad decisions and he does some questionable things, but on the whole, I don't know. That Bobby Madley interview really did change my views on referees, so I've become a bit more understanding of referees.
The problem with Mike Dean is it's never just middle of the road. You know, I do agree with you. I don't think he's, like, the worst referee in the world, but I think the problem with Mike Dean is he'll make some very, very, very good calls that you're like, wow, I'm shocked that he saw that. And then he'll also make some calls that you're like, what the actual fuck was that? It's like, it's never one or the other. Like, it's never like an even-keeled normal match. It's always something. So
yeah, and, you know, there's like those videos of him like celebrating after, you know, he plays advantage and then they go on and score and he's like celebrating because he like didn't stop the play, like he let it go. I think it was a Spurs goal that happened on, I don't know. He is a character, Mike Dean, I will say that, but and a terrible decision today, which really hurt. But I'm more disappointed with VAR, the ruling on VAR, rather than the decision itself. But that's just me, and I'm probably in the minority there, and I get that. And I know a lot of people are calling for Mike Dean's head, and, you know, Mike Dean should get sacked and never work in the Premier League again. He should be banished to the Championship. All those good things we talked about with Bobby Madley in that interview, that's just a myth. But, you know, people are entitled to their opinion, and I'm just glad that I have some new perspective on what it's like to be a referee.
Absolutely. Go listen to that interview. Okay, Craig Podavin seemed to have changed tactically. Masuaku wasn't overlapping. He was running inside, if anything, which was limiting Anderson a lot.
I don't agree with that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But at the same time, I said also Fornals is offered much more than Yarmolenko. But I think
I
agree with that. But also, I think what you said really changed my opinion on Yarmolenko, because I switched it around, because I didn't even put one and two together, if I'm completely honest, that he really didn't have much service. Like, he rarely touched the ball, partially to his fault for not getting in position, but partially because Anderson really had the ball most of the time. So I will give Yarmolenko somewhat credit there. Lanzini also seemed to be deeper than usual. Grealish was a serial diver, yet the refs didn't catch on to that one.
So I want to touch on the Fornals and Yarmolenko thing, though. I do think Fornals, when he came on, he did a lot more than Yarmolenko did. And maybe the tactics did change when he came on. But I wouldn't be opposed to Fornals coming in for Yarmolenko next week. So I agree with who'd you say it was? It was like Craig Podavin?
It was Craig Podavin.
Yeah, so I agree with that. I agree with that segment of the tweet.
I don't know. Do you want Fornals to come in when we play against Manchester United? I think I would want Yarmolenko for the wing play and to be able to help cover the outside backs more.
Maybe. And I trust Pellegrini to make the right decision. That's why he's managing and we're not. I would be okay with either one of those starting. I don't know. You might switch the formation up a little bit too, because we played more of a 4-3-3.
Uh-huh.
Maybe go with more of a 4-5-1 instead of a 4-3-3. But I don't know. We'll see what Pellegrini decides.
Yeah, it should be an interesting one. That is on Sunday. Fazamania says, why we should start every game with 10 men when Dean is officiating, it saves him a job. So essentially saying that we always get sent off against Mike Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Hammer Time said, played better when we went to 10 men, but still gutted not to take 3 points. Chances were there. You kind of said, well, chances were there, but you said we only had one on target, right? So
I believe I was listening to Talk Sport for that stat too. So you had the stats in front of you, I believe, earlier, and you could back me up if that was correct or not. But I do believe we only had one attempt on goal the entirety of the game. I can't think of any other saves that Tom Heaton had to make off the top of my head.
Yep. So Jeb Hill says 10 men on the road, grab a point, head home. So I agree with that.
Agreed.
Last week I was banging on, this is a must win. This is a must win. However, I didn't anticipate 10 men. If we would have stayed with 11 and didn't get a win, I would have been disappointed.
Yeah, and that's probably fair. I think that's fair.
Brian Donnelly says, thought it was a good effort, played really strong after going down to 10 men. For now, still seems a bit timid. Kind of opposite to what Craig said up there earlier. What happens at left back, Cresswell, Zabo, or Johnson? Make a call real quick off the top of your head. I know you said it earlier. You got 3 seconds.
I think Cresswell, but I wouldn't be opposed to Zabaleta. I don't want Ben Johnson.
Agreed.
Just yet. I think that's harsh. He hasn't done anything to like make me think that, but I just think he's just not ready for it yet. But who knows?
Nope. No, I know. I don't think he's ready. I guess I'm not the manager.
Right.
Last is Kevin 10 WHU says, good point away, 10 men. And when will Mike When will the Premier League kick Mike Dean off the referee roster? I don't think that's going to happen, and he provides too many talking points. And I don't think it's even up to the Premier League. It would be the FA, right?
I think that's how that works. If my understanding of the refereeing system is correct now, I believe that's right. There's a referees union, I believe, within the FA, and that's who makes the decisions.
Yeah, so I don't see that happening anyway because it rouses up people and has talking points, and it's just not going to happen.
He's a showman, and it's good for the league, so you're right. Everything that you said is right.
Absolutely. The other thing, there was a big argument on our Twitter feed. However, I'm not going to read that out because that didn't really have much content to it. So I think that was it for Twitter stuff. The last thing I said, which I briefly touched on earlier, was I'm glad people weren't jumping on Masuaku's back. Other than that, we have Manchester United on Sunday. What are your initial thoughts? How are you feeling?
Do you know what time kickoff on Sunday it is? I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
Yeah, the kickoff time is Sunday at 9 o'clock Eastern. 9 o'clock Eastern.
So 8 a.m.
8 a.m. for you. Yep,
I'll be able to watch it.
New York. I'm going to New York for the game. So
nice.
I will be staying in Brooklyn on Saturday night, having a night out with my buddy Dan. And then Dan and I are going to probably go to Smithfield at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, and then I'll head back to Harrisburg. So should be a fun time with the New York Hammers. See Jake and a few other people I typically shake hands with, say hello. So, and if I don't know you and want to shake hands and say hi, that would be really cool because I like meeting new people, and I'm not the most friendly person, so it's always better when someone comes up to me. So
you're not the most friendly person? Is that what you said?
Well, not like person. I'm just saying, like, I don't.
You're
have
shy. You're shy.
I don't like the word shy either. I'm just saying I don't walk up to people like, "Hey, stranger, I'm Tony." Like, that's weird for me. I like.
Well, if you see Tony in New York, go give him some shit for not being friendly, please. For me,
absolutely. But that's how I met Nick. I met Nick because he came up to me. I wouldn't have like seeked people out.
Nick Stampar.
Yeah. Shout out to Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, I'll be able to watch the game on Sunday if it's at 8 a.m. because I work at 11 a.m. Central, so that'll be perfect timing. It should be right about 2:15, and then I can get ready and go to work, so that'll be perfect. I'll actually get to watch the whole thing at home, so that's exciting. What are your expectations for this game? So we're at home, so I believe we're still above Man United in the table, so this is a clash of top eight. Are they above us now?
Yep, they're on eight.
They're on eight. We're on seven, or
we're
are
on
we
eight.
On eight?
Both are on eight. So, yeah.
Okay. So we're both on 8 points. They got us on goal difference, probably. So, what are your expectations for this one?
I think we can get a win. I know this sounds crazy, and I hate being so positive. I really do, because I know people just want to mellow and what's the word? Swallow in hate and sadness, but. We haven't lost in four, okay? So we had a draw against Brighton, win against Norwich, and win against Watford, not in that order. And then we come home against Manchester United. Manchester United really, I don't think, has been playing that well.
It's the worst Man United team in a long time.
I'm not scared of Manchester United. They only won 1-0 last week, and it was off a pen against Leicester.
Yeah, Leicester, yeah.
I'm not convinced that Manchester United's really all that good, and they play on Thursday night against FC Astana. I'm looking to see if that's in Kazakhstan.
It's in the Europa League, so they do play midweek, so that hopefully sucks some life out of them.
No, that game is at Old Trafford, but they still have to play Thursday anyway. So I'm convinced that we can get a result. This Manchester United team does not scare me.
So what's your score prediction?
Oh, I still think we get a draw. But, I mean, I'm looking at their last four games. Here you go, ready? Well, their first five games, they beat Leicester with a pen. They beat Southampton, and Southampton equalized, so they were up 1-0. They lost to Palace, drew Wolves, and beat Chelsea.
They absolutely
demolished a poor Chelsea side, who I don't think is really all that good either. So I think we can get a result. However, I'm going to predict 1-1.
That's tough. So after all that positivity, you think we can get a win, and then you predict a draw.
I think we can get a win, but I'm going to say most likely we get a draw, and then we go back to having, I believe, favorable fixtures.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same thinking as you. I do think we can win this game. I think this is definitely the worst Manchester United team I've ever seen. And hopefully Paul Pogba – do we know what's wrong with Pogba? He didn't play, I don't think, on Saturday. Hopefully he doesn't play because I think he's by far and away their best player apart from Rashford and Martial. So I think I'm going to predict a draw too. I'm going to go 2-2. I think we can win the game just like you said, but I just don't see it. I think 2-2, and I think we'll be happy with that. I think everyone at this point will probably be happy with a draw, even though we couldn't win. And if we want to beat Man United into the top six or Chelsea or one of those teams, you got to beat them, especially at home. So, but I'm going to go with a draw.
Absolutely. And I have it up here because I just mentioned about our fixtures get easier. If we can get past Manchester United and get a result here, we have Oxford in the cup. We're at Bournemouth away, which is a little bit tough for us, but still, again, if we want to be this big team, these are some of the games that we got to win. So Bournemouth away, Palace at home, which I will be at, everybody. So shout out if anybody wants to have a beer there, going to the West Ham Way event. Everton away, Sheffield home, Newcastle home, Burnley away. So those are our next results. So, I mean, once we get past Manchester United, we're back to having favorable results again. I mean, fixtures. And I think that we can really make some moves up the table.
Yeah, hopefully just stay in and around sixth. That 4 through 6th place would be really, really good. With those fixtures, I don't see why we couldn't do that.
Absolutely. So I predicted 1-1. You predicted 2-2. Do you want to send the people out one last time with our old information?
Yep. So for now, until Wednesday, you can find us on Twitter at West Ham Pod USA. Our new Twitter handle is TBD. We're still trying to decide what it should be and keep it within the right Twitter parameters. So once it's updated, we will let all of you guys know. Please go on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and rating. Write us a nice little review. And you can find us on the website at www.AmericanWestHamPodcast.com. Tony, did you want to say something?
Yes, I just want to remind everybody one last time. You do not need to unsubscribe and you do not need a different RSS feed. All the new podcasts will stay in the same spot. You'll just see the picture logo change. That's it. Go ahead. You can keep going.
And then the website, are we going to keep the website, Tony? Or are we going to have a redirect? Or how is that going to work? Do we know?
Yes, I am going to do a redirect where you can still access all the old articles because I thank Nigel and Nick and Dan for putting out some great content there. So we still want you to be able to read that, but it'll be a redirect too, as well to either West Ham Way or I believe I'm going to talk to Scott to see if he wants to what he's doing there for West Ham Way USA.
Okay, so signing off for the final time as the American West Ham Podcast in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, you've heard Tony Clark, and in St. Louis, Missouri, you've heard me, Brawley Darbin. We thank you guys so much for listening. Hopefully you guys do continue to tune in for the West Ham Way USA Podcast. It's sure to be super exciting. I'm really excited for it, and we're going to get some big-time guests on, hopefully with some inside information. So everything should be positive about this transition, no negatives about it. And we push on and we move on into a new start for us. So I'm excited. So that'll do it for this week, guys. We'll talk to you later, and we'll see you as the West Ham Way USA Podcast next week.
Bon nuit.
Now this is more than a hobby. Give them more like I'm Bobby. This is my team and they got me. Shout out to Billy, we're bonding. We got us 3 cups, mate. I know it ain't too late. We'll turn that 3 into 4 and turn that 4 into 8. So come on, you Irons. It's time, throw on your claret and blue and listen up to this rhyme. 112 years, wow. Iconic bowling ground at London Stadium now. Blowing bubbles from the crowd. Let the Premier League know. The Irons going for the gold. Scoring 100 plus goals like Paulo Di Canio. So kick it off at the homies, known as Brawley and Tony, and keep on blowing those bubbles until they bring us a trophy. I'm forever blowing bubbles, and my fortune's always hiding. It's the American West Ham Podcast, y'all best dialing. I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, and I'm forever blowing bubbles, and my fortune's always hiding. It's the American West Ham Podcast, y'all best dialing. I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, hey!
I believe it, I know that we're winning. I've been here since the very beginning. Yeah. Dreaming of the gold medal, we're lifting. Set it up like we're penalty kicking. 57,000 people packed. Hear the fans shouting from the back. Take the ball and then we all attack. Make opponents feel the hammer crack. Wild nights, highlight stats. Tony got you covered on that. Brawley got the stories and the facts. Together everything is down packed. Three time gold winners, but now it's time to get another cup. West Ham fans stand up. West Ham fans stand up. I'm forever blowing bubbles. Hear my fortunes always hiding. It's the American West Ham podcast. Y'all best dialing. I'm forever blowing bubbles. I'm forever blowing bubbles. I'm forever blowing bubbles. I'm forever blowing bubbles. Said I'm forever blowing bubbles. Hear my fortunes always hiding. It's the American West Ham podcast. Y'all best dialing. I'm forever blowing bubbles. I'm forever blowing bubbles. I'm forever blowing bubbles. I'm forever blowing bubbles. Hey.
Big players, big games, big moments, big rewards. Absolutely. And huge disappointment. All season, promotion demanded by West Ham. On a sunny afternoon in May at Wembley, promotion to the Premier League has been delivered. Ricardo Vasile, one of the January arrivals, with the biggest goal he will have ever scored. And West Ham, Wembley winners again for the first time since 1980. But more significantly, back in the Premier League.